We live in a perpetual revolution. The essence of our media's breathless headlines is not resistance to a particular regime or ruler, but a revolt against the very concept of civil order.
Aaron Wolf, executive editor of Chronicles Magazine, talking about his presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We are now witness to the fact that civilization falls apart when its people abandon a shared belief in the permanent things, an enduring moral order established by God that exists outside of us.
You can meet and hear Aaron Wolf making the case for conservatism at our one and only 2019 Making the Case conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Find out more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385. The news began yesterday, and it was wall-to-wall coverage of these shootings at two mosques in New Zealand. Now, 49 confirmed dead, dozens are injured. Attacks on Muslims there in New Zealand have shocked the world. How do we account for the fact that we hardly ever hear anything out of New Zealand? And while these attacks are certainly tragic, the coverage seems to be, well, seems to be exactly in proportion with the tragedy, whereas coverage of other shootings, say a Muslim shooting up a church in Egypt, seems disproportionately small for the same death toll. How do we account for that? We're going to be talking about the deadly attacks at two mosques in New Zealand. Joining us on this Friday afternoon, Dr. Serge Trifkovic. He's foreign affairs editor of Chronicles Magazine, teaches international relations at the University of Banja Luka in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and he's author of the book The Sword of the Prophet and Defeating Jihad, also a recent column titled New Zealand Attacks, Repercussions, and Perspective. Serge, welcome back.
I'm very happy to be back with you.
How do you explain, I'm watching this from the U.S. and I'm seeing wall-to-wall coverage as though it were a mass shooting in the U.S. and ordinarily we hear nothing from New Zealand. How do you explain the U.S. coverage of this?
I explain it by the collective pathology of the U.S. media machine. The pathology that is visible every day in the coverage of practically everything. No matter what happens elsewhere in the world, what sordid, discredited, and already indicted lawyer says about President Trump is front page news. I also ascribe it to the inherent Christophobia of the U.S. media machine, by which I mean literally, not disdain of Christians, but hatred of Christians. Because when in 2017 a bomb went off in the Coptic Christian Cathedral in Alexandria in Egypt, and unfortunately 45 people were killed, which is very close to the number of today's victims, and lo and behold, nobody in the Western media cared about the news. It was literally on the seventh page of the New York Times, and not a single Western politician deemed it necessary to make a verdict of any kind. Now, whenever Muslims strike the Western world, everybody and his uncle demand the context, quote-unquote. First of all, many of them will deny that the attackers are Muslim in the first place because, of course, Islam is the religion of peace and tolerance, and if they use terrorism, they are not true Muslims, they misunderstand their faith. That was even the claim of Barack Obama about ISIS itself. It's not Islamic. But more importantly, and here we are coming to the numbers, and numbers are related to context. If you look at the 30 million Muslims in the Western world, 6 in Quebec 2 years ago, 50 today, 56 out of 30 million. What's happened in France over the past 5 years defies belief. We had Charlie Hebdo attacks with 22 victims. We had the horrendous Paris attacks in November of 2015, the worst terrorist attack in France in the whole of history. We had at Strasbourg, the Christmas market only last December, 5 victims. Collectively, they make it, interestingly, for a nation of 66 million, the likelihood of 1 in 1 million, which is exactly 10 times more than a Muslim who lives in North America, in the European Union, in Australia, and in New Zealand. And yet, whenever these attacks happen, we have the clamoring for understanding. Sometimes the victims, notwithstanding, the attackers are described as mentally disturbed, notably the Tunisian Muslim who drove the truck into Nice, celebrants of Bastille Day, who killed 86 people. And nobody even paused for a moment to think whether maybe today's attacker was mentally deranged. No, of course, he was a reflection of the xenophobic, Islamophobic Christopher. By the way, the term used by Hillary Clinton during the campaign, deplorables, applies perfectly to media description of the attacker. He is not given any benefit of the doubt. Second important point is that if we look at terrorism as an occurrence which has no value attached meaning to it, so that whoever is committing it will be condemned, whoever is the victim will be mourned or celebrated, there is a very visible imbalance today. Today we are talking about victims who should be mourned and an event which has no meaning beyond what we are looking at in the world as a whole. But political consequences are clear. Jihadist apologists such as CARE in the United States and their equivalents elsewhere around the world will clamor for legislation against what they call Islamophobia, which in their definition means any meaningful discussion of Islam and its ambitions, its scriptural record, and its historical practice. Anyone who says a single word against such approach will be termed as apologist for terrorism and for the poor victims of crime in Christchurch. Now, we are not even mentioning the victims of Muslim crimes against Christians in the Islamic world, where their likelihood of being killed by their Muslim neighbors, and I mentioned the Alexandria Cathedral outrage, is 100 times greater. So this is just another pathology, manifestation of the pathology of the Western media and the Western elite class.
You have coined the term about 5 or 6 years ago, jihadophilia. What does that mean?
It means that whenever there is a jihadist attack, and let me define it, attack inspired by the teaching of the Quran and the Sharia. So in the paradigm of jihadism as the struggle of the faithful against the world of disbelief, anyone who dies on this path will go straight to heaven, and there is a Manichaean us-and-them paradigm, which is very similar to the Bolshevik paradigm of the 20th century. We are upholders of the only truth, and we need to conquer the world, to enlighten the world, and to change man in order to come to the end of history. So in this sense, Islam is not really a religion. It's a political ideology. But to come to your question, jihadophilia is the apology of jihadism. And we had the same phenomenon in the 1930s, because, as I say, jihadism is Bolshevism. When William Durante, the famous, or I should say notorious, New York Times correspondent from Moscow, apologized for the horrible, infamous Moscow trials, and presented the Soviet Union as a land of milk and honey. Likewise, his today's heirs and equivalents are always finding excuses for jihadist outrages, claiming basically, and this is the essence of it, that what they're doing is not true Islam, that somehow they're misunderstanding their own religion. Barack Obama even said that ISIS was un-Islamic because even though al-Baghdadi knows the Quran by heart and knows every surah and every verse and can explain and elaborate each of them, Barack Obama, for goodness sake, deemed it necessary to pass a verdict on his religious education by saying that ISIS is un-Islamic. ISIS was eminently Islamic. And by the way, anyone who says that, quote-unquote, extreme Islam is desirous of conquering the world, ignorant of Islam as such, because the Orthodox religion, as taught by friends of Pope Francis when he was in Abu Dhabi last month, are openly saying anyone who converts from Islam to other faith should be put to death. So it is the Western liberals and their media cohorts, the ruling class and their academic collaborators and gauleiters who are promoting these myths, and the reality is that we are in a war. And it is unfortunate that this tragic incident in New Zealand today will be used by the upholders of the collapse of the West as a means of introducing ever more stringent so-called Islamophobia legislation to prevent any real debate about the nature of Islam, its scripture, its historical record, and its current ambitions today.
Talk about some of the numbers, just by way of comparison. You, in your Chronicles article, say that a Christian living in a majority Muslim country is 143 times more likely to be killed by a Muslim for being a Christian than a Muslim is likely to be killed by a non-Muslim in a Western country. How do we get to those numbers?
I'm talking about official statistics, but I think that the reality is far worse, because in the Western world, statistics are very precise, and the powers that be are extremely keen to make sure that they get their numbers right. In the Muslim world, we don't know. If a slaughter of Christians happens in a Coptic village in Upper Egypt, or if a column of Christian refugees gets intercepted by ISIS or by the so-called moderate rebels in Syria, we don't even know about that because it will never be recorded. So we are talking about, on the Western side, more or less accurate numbers of very small number of terrorist victims. In the Muslim world, we are talking about the least verified number. I'm not even saying what is the truth, because I don't know. But what I do know is that it is far more than this.
So what is the best way to correct what ends up being what you've described as kind of the inevitable reaction or lack of reaction to Muslim attacks and the inevitable reaction to the perceived attacks of Western ideas or religious sensibilities against Islam?
The best way would be to have a fundamental change of the balance of political forces in the Western world, because anything else is just tinkering. It is like giving aspirins to cancer patients with metastatic problems. The Western world is sick, and the elites ruling it are driving it into death.
Should Christians react to these mosque attacks by thinking, well, it's justified since Christians have been killed by Muslims in worship spaces around the world, or thinking less of these murders since the victims are Muslims?
I would say that for a true Christian, any violent death is regrettable. But at the same time, they need to invoke the fact that their own are being ignored and forgotten, deliberately thrown under the carpet. So it's not so much that they should say, aha, now we... No, on the contrary, the pain and the regret over any violent death should remind us of the responsibility of every human, Christian or otherwise, to express the same level of regret and condemnation for the death of anyone. And I said earlier in our interview that the victims of Coptic Christian bombing in Alexandria were totally ignored. So if we look at today's frenzy on every flickering screen, on every printed page, we see evidence that something is wrong. Not every victim is equally valid. Not every victim is equally valuable.
Dr. Serge Trifkovic is foreign affairs editor of Chronicles magazine. He teaches international relations at the University of Banja Luka in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and he's author of the books The Sword of the Prophet and Defeating Jihad, and a recent column titled New Zealand Attacks, Repercussions and Perspective. You can read these at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Trifkovic, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
When we come back, Suzanne Venker joins us. We're going to answer the question, how in an age of equality, women are being lied to. Stay tuned.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.